Hey, what's going on, Clipper folks? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
We're a couple of credentialed media guys and best friends who cover the Clippers 5 days a week here at Locked On Clippers.
Hell yeah.
Part of the Locked On NBA Network. If you haven't checked out other shows on the network as well as the Locked On NBA show itself, check it out. There's some good stuff. But moving on to Clippers news, we're going to start things off with some Pacific Division talk. Now, I know we've kind of waned our interest on Division talk as this podcast has kind of gone on. It's almost like a running joke on this show. But I'm interested, since we don't have a full plan for the schedule yet, and kind of looking at the implications of playing in one of the hardest divisions. You know, you're going to be playing all of those teams at least four times.
For sure.
And with them trying to abridge travel, I'm just interested to see and have a conversation about how that could affect seeding.
Hell yeah.
So we're going to do that. And then we got another draft prospect for you. It's Omer Yurtseven.
Yep, Yurtseven.
Traditional size center. Charles is going to try and sell me on him. Looks pretty good. Got to be honest. I'm partially there. And then it's Friday. We got a classic Love, Marry, Quarantine for you. It's basically just a segment where we rank fictional or eccentric things that could be related to the Clippers, and very loosely. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yeah, so welcome to Friday Pack Div Talk. In our older episodes, every Friday was dedicated to Pack Div Talk. Last year, I said that I thought the Pack Div could have four playoff teams. I was wrong, but there were some pretty extenuating circumstances. What do we think? Let's hear this Pack Div argument for being more relevant this year.
Okay, so my thinking on this Pactiv play is we don't know the schedule yet, what this 72-game season thing is going to look like.
Yeah.
But given what's happening right now with obviously the COVID cases nationwide kind of skyrocketing, I'm wondering if they don't try and have teams make like sort of more organized trips. Like let's say you're an East Coast team. If you're scheduled to play a West Coast thing, you just do the full trip.
Yeah. A more concentrated version of what they do now, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so I'm wondering, you know, if that could make the division a little bit more competitive, because depending on how close these games are scheduled, which I'm imagining if they're trying to get through the 72-game season, some of these games are going to be really, really close. And depending on, you know, when these other teams play someone in your division could definitely affect standings in my mind. I mean, we saw it quite a bit just because of, you know, being in Los Angeles, having two teams obviously playing at the same stadium. There was a big difference between whether you played the Clippers the first night or you played the Lakers on the first night.
Yes. And that, our city has, you know, we have a city that tends to be a little more fun to go out than others. So the LA nightlife helps
definitely
us out. Pack div wise, I think it's funny because we're going to be playing more division games probably.
I would think so too.
And the Kings are just going to get destroyed. Like looking at the Pacific division, you know, Clippers, Lakers, most likely the Warriors are all going to be fighting for the top four seeds, right? Like
definitely
there's a chance that that could be 1, 2, and 3 in the West. But if we're beating up on each other so much, it might just kind of, it might knock us down a little bit. And like, you know, the Suns are going to be threatening. How do we like the Clippers' chances in the Pac Div this year?
I mean, they're firmly at least the second best in the division.
Yeah.
I think it depends on the offseason and depends on the offseason of the Lakers. Mm-hmm. But I guess I like bring all this up because like, you know, while winning the division, like clinching the division, division will probably never mean anything.
It's a shame.
But there is a huge difference in record and standings if you have to play, you know, the Lakers, the Warriors, maybe, who knows, even the Suns this year, if things start getting crazy. Having to play each of those teams four times at least, probably more this season, looks a lot different than having to play the Cavs, Bulls, and Pistons four times.
Shots fired at the Bucks.
Which is the Central Division where the Bucks play. So I do think that like it could, make things a little bit more important in that way and affecting the standings.
It'll be interesting. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I do think that teams in the Pacific will be at a little bit of a disadvantage in that regard.
So I think there's going to be, I think it's going to be split. I think there's going to be two teams that come out of the Pacific Division, like iron sharpens iron, just like ready to destroy. And then two teams that get kind of roughed up, and then, you know, the Kings. But like, I think whoever can go on like a hot streak towards the end of the season, because we're probably going to have scheduling wise in terms of TV stuff, they're probably going to want some interdivision stuff towards the end of the season. So, and like you said, how compounded it is, man, those last seven games, that last 10% of the season is going to go so far for the, hopefully the Clippers' confidence when they're just like battling out in these crazy division games. Cause there also might be fans at that point too, right? Like yeah. The atmospheres are going to be with however many teams, especially in the Pacific Division, since there's not going to be fans at, I mean, let's assume every team in California's stadiums for to begin with, there might be playoff atmosphere in terms of like people just wanting to get back in the regular season, which is going to make these late playoff or make these late division games, like you said, like even crazier with so much on the line.
And I've been thinking of ways to kind of make division play matter again. And maybe it doesn't need to. Like that's fine. If that's what we come to. And like, you know, especially, you know, there are a lot of proponents of just eliminating conferences even and just having straight seating, which,
yeah.
I mean, hey, man, it totally makes sense. But yeah. A couple ideas that I had would be, what if they played division versus division sort of like series? So basically,
like baseball, let's like say you have like a 4-game homestand against like the Jazz or something like that.
Yeah. But you'd play every team basically in another division.
Yeah.
Over a period of time. So,
okay. That seems kind of cool.
Yeah. So like if it was the Atlantic v Pacific, I mean, you have five teams versus five teams and then they all play each other.
Yeah.
And I think that you could make this a tie-in to the mid-season tournament.
Oh, for sure. Seeding or something like that.
Yeah.
That's a good call. You could also, I feel like you could maybe, depending what things happen, that's a nice bubble opportunity. You're like, all right, we're doing, you know, Pacific Division versus whatever division. You guys are going to all meet here and we're playing here at this complex or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like I don't know that things are going to get to that level again, that there will be, you know, like one designated bubble or we'll have teams playing, you know, like at neutral locations or whatever, but it is something to think about. I do feel like it's a way that minimizes travel and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you know, you're also kind of limiting some level of ins and outs. I mean, for it still sure. doesn't seem great for the players.
You got to pick the most boring city that's equidistant between each division.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like maybe the entirety of the 2020-2021 season should just be played in like Oklahoma City or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good
no
call.
Disrespect.
Idaho has a bunch of basketball courts. They don't have any professional teams, so there's not a whole lot to do there.
Yeah, that's true.
Do we think the Pac-Div is going to be the hardest division in basketball? For team pride, I say yes.
For team pride, I got to say yes. I mean, I think easily three teams are playoff teams. I think four could make the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know if it's as bold as my take last year, but I think three will.
Three definitely, we will almost assuredly will.
Yeah. And if the Suns get CP3, things get absolutely insane. Then I'm like, they're a playoff team too.
Yeah, who knows? But looking at the divisions, I think the three hardest are the Atlantic, where you got the Celtics, Raptors, Sixers, Nets, and Knicks.
Ooh, I mean, that's three teams guaranteed, yeah.
Yeah, four out of five of those teams are probably playoff teams.
Yeah.
In the Northwest, you got the Nuggets, Thunder, Jazz, Blazers, Timberwolves.
That's interesting.
Once again, you can make an argument for any four out of those five teams. And then you got the Pacific Division. You got the Warriors, Clippers, current champ, Lakers, Suns, and Kings. These are all difficult, man.
I put the Pac-Div at the top because we also have the return of whatever the Warriors are going to look like and whatever happens with their pick. We don't know if they're going to draft somebody or move it. You know what I mean? Like, I think you got to put the Pacific up there. And the Suns just look, they ended the season on such a high note that, like, it's hard to discredit how good the Pac-Div is as a whole. And then I'd probably put the Atlantic second.
Oh, you're going Northwest third.
Yeah, I'm going Northwest third.
I'm going Atlantic firmly last place.
And there's more threats to win it all in the Atlantic to me than the Northwest, I guess.
you know what? That's a good call. That's fair enough.
Is where my head's at.
But there's definitely teams that can knock, but there's definitely any number of teams that can knock you out of the playoffs in the Northwest.
That's a good call. Yeah.
Solid contenders. I mean, the Timberwolves are the only one of these teams that didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, true.
So.
Whew, it's going to be crazy. I hope the Pac Div is a bloodbath. I hope division stuff does come back.
Yeah, and maybe it doesn't have to mean anything. Maybe it can just
should.
Be, maybe it can just be a fan rivalry or a weird fan point of contention. But it would be cool to have it have some sort of meaning. Even if it's just for the midseason tournament, or
it's the only
like
sport
that.
Where they don't matter.
Yeah.
In North America, where everyone's like, who gives a shit about the division? Like, baseball, it's huge. Football, it's huge. It's just like...
And, like, the likelihood hockey. The likelihood of two teams being seeded who had the exact same record, the exact same conference record, and then it would come down to their division. I mean, the likelihood of that is so rare. I couldn't even tell you the last time it happened.
Well, we're trying to drum up some hype for the Clippers Pacific Division march towards victory. Coming up, we're going to be taking a look at Omer Yurtseven, a fantastic looking center from Georgetown. But first, Will, I love mock drafts. Where can I find one?
Well, you're in luck because the Locked On Network has you covered with all the mock draft stuff you need. The draft is days away, and the Locked On NBA podcast is mock drafting every single first round pick. So you're going to want to check that out. You can listen to the Locked On NBA podcast every day leading up to the draft to hear projections of each pick and expert analysis from Chad Ford, The Athletic's John Hollinger, and Sports Illustrated's Jeremy Wu. Check the feed to catch up on past shows and don't miss a pick. Subscribe to Locked On NBA today, wherever you get podcasts.
Yes, we also have to give a shout out to Built Bar. There's a new improved Built Bar flavors. They have six new flavors you need to check out. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. These are all fantastic. Built Bars are healthy. It's great for the health conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for the keto diet. I kind of like the peanut butter one. It's a little annoying, or it's a little boring, I guess, but you know, it fills you up, gives you some energy. Right now, while supplies last, you might get a free cooler with your purchase, which is always a good time. Go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. One more time, that is builtbar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off your next order.
Okay, so we're back with some prospect talk. On the board is a center, possibly coming at number 57 for the Clippers. We're talking Omer Yurtseven.
Yes, so I'm kind of sold on this guy. He's 7 foot, 264. He's also been listed at 275, so like the frame is there. He's got NBA size already, obviously. He's from Istanbul. Played 2 years at NC State and then transferred to Georgetown. Also, I know that we've done two overseas prospects twice in a row. It seems like the best picks at 57 have been overseas picks with Manu Ginobili and Marcin Gortat. So I'm sticking with that theme for the Clippers. His stats at Georgetown, he averaged 15 points, 9.8 boards, one assist in 27 minutes per game. Also, almost two blocks a game. His splits were 53, 21, and 75. He only took a half a three per game in college. So like that 21, I feel like it's whatever. But everything online says in European workouts, he was hitting from beyond the arc pretty easily. When he played professionally, I'm pretty sure in Turkey, there when he was younger, their three-point line is further back than the NCAA college line. So he's been shooting from a pretty far distance for a long time. And if you watch his highlights, like the shot is there, like his form is pretty good for a 7 footer. His senior year, he had an offensive rating of 111.7 and a defensive rating of 100.4. So when he wants to, he can use his body well. Also, when he was 16, he scored 91 points in a game overseas, which is pretty tight. Weaknesses, bit of a streaky shooter. Needs to kind of get some better low post moves. He settles for turnaround jumpers a lot, which like they look good and they go in the highlights, you know, but that's not,
yeah,
a,
I mean,
that's
kind of my
you
biggest
take in the NBA.
Yeah. That's my biggest knock on him, from the tape the tape that I've seen is that it's the shot selection is really, really poor. And he does settle for a lot of shots.
But he shot 53%. So it's like
range. Yeah.
If he's in an actual offense, like I agree, like some of the shot selection, like this is like college basketball sucks, right? Like, so part of it I'm like, is college basketball is bad. Defensive foot speed is an issue, and he's not remarked to be an elite athlete. When you watch him play, the way his body moves in terms of smoothness to clunkiness is similar to Steven Adams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's kind of like he's lumbering, but it looks like relaxed. Like I like he's obviously athletic. He's not as athletic as Steven Adams. I'm not making that comparison, but like the movement vibe is the same, I guess.
Strength, I can see that.
You know, like his strength, the shot looks good. Like he can catch and shoot. Like the form is there. It's not a weird big man shot. Like 75% or whatever it was from the free throw line indicates like, you know, he knows what he's doing at least. He exposes mismatch as well. He's not afraid to challenge on defense when he's locked in. You know, I think the streakiness from everything I've read goes both ways on the offensive and defensive side. Like there's some games where, there's some games where he had like two and like, you know, three blocks. Another game, he doesn't even register one. So it's like this, you know, like it's one of those things, young person.
A little thing. Inconsistent. Yeah.
Yeah. And he moves smooth for a 7-footer. I don't know, man. As like, we've made these weird picks for big men, for the Clippers G League team. Like, Motley is someone
kind of a weird history.
Yeah, like Motley's someone who we picked up who's like too small to play the five, but can't really shoot well enough to play the four. Angel Delgado, who is a beast in the G League, like had multiple 20 and 20 games, undersized center. People think Fee can play the five, which is insane. Fee's 6'9 and is going to be a power forward. So this guy is like a center-sized center who needs to work on his actual low post moves and stuff like that, as opposed to settling for turnaround jumpers. But like, given the expectations this year, allowing, like, I love him in the G League for two reasons. He gets used to NBA speed and he, you know, hopefully gets better because it seems like we coach big men well. Like these weird tweeners we draft seem to play well for the G League, right? Like Motley had a good season. Mm-hmm. Delgado, I think, won Rookie of the Year for the G League team. And Fee kind of showed out. And you can pair up Fee and this guy in the G League for like two more seasons and just see how it goes with them at the four and the five. Fee's 6'9". He's hopefully going to be this like 3-and-D guy. He's got crazy athleticism. They let him shoot. And like Fee's 23, Omer's 22. I think this is a great youth pairing for the Agua Caliente Clippers.
Yeah, I mean, this sounds like a fun front court if they were able to make this work. I don't know about Fee being in the G League for another 2 years, but hey, at least one. Yeah.
Like
continue to develop though. That'd be great. Yeah, I think it's interesting because if he's not an elite athlete already, I do think that he's going to take some more development, obviously.
Definitely. That's a good call.
But yeah, I mean, these two paired together sounds like a pretty good matchup. I think obviously it'll take a lot of some of the defensive liabilities that Fee is going to exhibit with, you know, the limitations of his frame. Yeah. I think that he could definitely help on that side if he can stay locked in, you know, like who knows? Yeah. Who knows what this is, you know, what his development is going to look like when he's playing in the G League. And, you know, certainly there's less fans than you're playing to in college. And I would imagine internationally, even, you know, even in the smaller leagues. So I guess we'll just have to see. I think, you know, the biggest positive for this guy is if we do end up drafting him, you know, he does have the actual size of a center. So, you know, there's probably a playing future for him somewhere. If he can get a good year in the G League underneath his belt.
And the rebounds are there, you know, like he does everything that you would want your center to do. Like he's kind of in that same mold as Zoo, but I think was allowed to show off his range earlier in college. You know, like I think him and Zoo probably have the same range, but this guy, and I'm not comparing them straight up, obviously. I hope no one takes me as that I'm saying it like that at all. But shooting wise, I just think this kid's gotten more freedom to shoot earlier than Zoo did. So, and you know, it's 57. Like, yeah, Fee probably shouldn't be in the G League for two more years, but like it's at least one, depending on what shakes out with our roster. And like, yeah, I don't know. The kid, he's also played against adults when he was younger, you know, because he was playing a little bit overseas. So like, I'm always a proponent of that too. And he seems like he's, yeah, I mean, you know, Fee looks a little bit like a, you know, like a baby deer trying to walk sometimes out on the court. Whereas this dude, it's like, he knows how to use his body. Like he reads these mismatches and it's just over. Like he doesn't second guess the mismatch, which I think is something that sometimes happens with big dudes.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, it's interesting at 57. He's not as high as Yao Madar. And I think I have him below Peyton Pritchard too. That crafty point guard from Oregon. But
I've been seeing some drafts with Pritchard going a lot higher now.
Dude, so me too. Like draft buzz is so weird. I feel like maybe a few of the guys we've talked about are not going to be in the Clippers range maybe.
Yeah, I mean it's really difficult to tell. I'm curious to see if people are going to be, you know, trading some more picks at the once free agency kind of opens up.
Yeah.
Even the NBA's release about the scheduling said that teams could look drastically different by this time the season started.
Yeah, you're like, oh, okay, let's get it.
Yeah, so it's just a hard year to mock draft. So thankful to all the people out there, all the people who do the big boards and everything. Shout out to them.
Yes, appreciate it. I'm keeping tabs on Yam's draft status every single day. So Yam might end in a Clipper. Let us know if you want Yurt 7 to be a Clipper. That name would also look great on the back of a Clippers jersey. Coming up after this, we have a pretty in-depth Love, Marry, Quarantine.
Okay, so we're back with Love, Marry, Quarantine. We do it every single Friday.
Yep.
It's where we either love something, which means obviously we're in love with
it's
it.
A fun
we
time.
Marry
it.
We marry it, we're committed to it long term, or we quarantine it, which means get it away from me.
Get away. Lock it in the room.
All right. So what do we love, marry, and quarantine today, Charles?
This Friday, we are love, marry, quarantining. What fictional players should the Clippers target in free agency?
Okay.
I spent a pretty good chunk of my workday doing this. first up, we have Thomas Shepard. Of course, from above the rim. Shep scored 38 points and had the game-winning alley-oop assist, so you know he can distribute, in the closing minutes of the New York City shootout tournament. And you know what? He was wearing long-sleeve shirt and khakis when he did it. So to me, that's a pretty big plus right there. He's a really good one-on-one defender. He played against one of his old high school buddies and locked him up pretty good. So I think you could pair him well off the bench with Lou, or maybe, you know, if he shows a little better team defense, slot him next to Bev and move everyone down a spot on the starting lineup. Next, we have Scott Howard, who does have a bit of a size issue, but he has really great handles and leadership. Plus, when he turns into a werewolf, there's an athletic ability that I don't think is really matched by anyone in the NBA.
Definitely.
He is known as the teen wolf, so he does have a bit of kind of an ego already, I think, you know, which might be an issue. But for the limited tape we have on this guy, he's got really quick hands defensively. And even without the wolf stuff, he'd be a really good hustle guy to pair with Pat Bev. Great locker room dude, always getting people psyched up. I think Scott, but again, though, the wolf thing is a liability. It depends, you know, with COVID, player safety, fan safety. Big swing if we go for this contract. And last, this one's kind of something the Clippers maybe need. Chip Douglas. He's a cable guy. Some pretty big red flags personality-wise. Pretty big. But he's tall. Might be able to soak up minutes at the five, like Joakim Noah. Maybe even a little more. He's a really good screener. Like, I mean, guys are losing teeth when they're hitting screens from this guy. And he gets elbows up on those rebounds, which is good. He refers to basketball as round ball, so he's a bit of an eccentric character. But he makes his living doing the dirty work. And like I said, he's a cable guy. So I think even just a two-way contract offer could make this happen. Which of these prospects do you think the Clippers should pick up?
Well, I got to say, I'm loving this Chip Douglas pick.
oh, no.
I'm loving it. The guy is a psychopath. But, you know, he does play some great pickup ball. As a cable guy, I do think that he'd be open to a pretty team-friendly contract. I don't know if I'm committing long term, but I think with the 57th pick, like if that's what's on the table, definitely willing to take him at 57.
Oh no, these are just free agents. These are just
Free agent. Strictly well, I'm assuming Chip Douglas is coming out of the G League, so
yeah, he's been there a while.
Still loving the pick
for sure.
I gotta marry Scott Howard of Teen Wolf fame. I think Michael J. Fox would look great in a Clippers uniform, whether Wolf or normal. There's also this, I think his reflexes would be really good because there's this weird thing in the movie that's portrayed as a recreational activity for teens where they're car surfing, where they're literally standing on the roofs of moving vehicles.
It's called Ghost Ride. It happens every day. Yeah, I've done that.
It makes no damn sense. But at one point, Michael J. Fox does it. I think he turns into the wolf. He also shoots a can of Tab into...
there you go. The long range game is there.
Yes, as he's surfing on a moving vehicle.
And so I think he does a handstand on that vehicle too.
I gotta marry the Scott Howard free agency pickup, and then I'm quarantining Shep.
Oh, okay. We have very different thoughts on this. I'm loving Shep. Shep is a score first point guard who also had, you know, you put him on the bench. I think it's great. Imagine what he could do in shorts and a jersey. You know, he can play good one-on-one defense. He can take some pressure off Lou. I think I'm loving Thomas. That's a fun time. You know, if worst case scenario, we send him down to the G League, he just balls out. We get some good content from it. I think I'm going to marry Chip Douglas.
Okay.
I think, man, we want someone doing the dirty work. If we lose Trez, this is the guy to do it. You know, he's not worried about what other people think of him. He's gonna set good screens, ball movement. I think you could kind of, you know, he's gonna do what he's told, also, which I think is great too.
Very true.
A bit of a weirdo. And then I think I got to quarantine Scott Howard strictly for the fact that I think teams would refuse to play us if he was in wolf form before the game started.
Mm.
I think if something weird happened in the tunnel, at an away game, and he kind of wolfed out, I think that gets a little dicey for if people are like, okay, yeah. Let's play the team with the Wolfman on it. but I, you know, if he could control it,
he's a teen wolf, not a wolf man.
So that's the other thing. Age is an issue. I'm not sure how much organized ball he's played. Coaching wise, it seemed like it was a little dicey in his high school program. They weren't very good. He carried the team, but he'll be a good G League guy. Him and Chris Clemens, you know, good G League guys. Anything else in shavings?
No, I don't think so. Have a happy weekend, everybody. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, hope everybody has a fun and safe weekend. Things seem like they're spiking again with the old COVID. So, you know, wear a mask. It's a good time. Get a bunch to match your different outfits. Just stunt on everybody. Monday's episode, we're going to be talking draft prospects on the freshies. I bet there's some trade rumors that happen over the weekend. Who knows? And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Will, these people can find us on Apple Podcasts, Deezer, where else?
Check us out on Google Podcasts or Spotify or Stitcher. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you haven't already, please subscribe. And if you like what we're doing over here, go ahead, leave us a rating or review. Really helps us out. And thanks so much for rocking with you. We love bringing you Clippers news 5 days a week.
Yes, thanks again. Let us know your draft picks as well. We'll profile it. We'll give you a shout-out. Shout-out Nick Jacobs, who found us Yamadar. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.